What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drumroll please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another Casilla Corner. We are back with some more Casilla topics, more consistency this time. As always, I'm joined with Mr. Sam Sharp, who has been to Spain recently. How are you, Sam?
Yeah, back from sunny Spain. A little bit sadder now, to be honest, because the weather is good there, man, you know?
Oh, it's much better than here, I suppose.
It can be cold, though, in like January, February. I wasn't realizing how hot it was going to be until I got there, and then it was just shorts, T-shirt weather, and then, yeah, back here, get your coat on.
Oh, it's even colder here. It was one degree that, like, yesterday for us.
Oh, what? Yeah, it's not that bad down south, but oh, horrible weather. It is nasty, isn't it?
It's really bad. Yeah, Castilla, since our last conversation, have sort of turned everything around. Not everything.
We can relax a little bit. We can certainly relax, though, can't we?
Yeah, they've given themselves a lot of breathing room. So Castilla, if you don't know, after that horrible run of like one win in six games, have now won two in a row. They've scored six goals in the last two games, 3-1 win against Alcoyano at home, and then 3-1 win away at San Fernando. I mean, did you watch any of those games? So
I was lucky enough whilst I was in Madrid to get tickets for the Alcoyano game, which is actually, again, one of the only games that you'll see fully live. You have to literally go now because it's so difficult to watch. You have to pay a subscription to this channel who might shut down and they might stream it here. So to actually catch the game crisp in real life like that is it's a pleasure, especially when they win. And Alcoyano, I looked at the league positions. This could have been a tough game. I think Alcoyano were like ninth, which is where really Castilla should be aspiring to be. Castilla were all the way down, just a couple of points away from the drop zone. But Castilla looked better than Alcoyano in every single factor of the entire game except one. And I bet you can guess which one it was.
Can I guess? I don't know.
Go on. Physicality.
Physicality, okay.
They just got battered, obviously, because it tends to be there. It's kids against men in most of the games it's going to be, which is a physical league. And yeah, number nine, especially for Alcoyano, was one dirty player. But their goal was actually quite good for Alcoyano. It was a player who ran from the halfway line on the wing, took one good touch towards goal and then slotted home. But other than that, yeah, Castilla absolutely dominated. The first goal was superb from Lorenzo. Nico Paz's goal was really well taken. Obviously, he took a really good touch with his head after winning the ball back from nowhere. And then late on, I'm trying to think. Oh, it was the substitute, actually. Good run. A player that is a little bit dry, I find, at times. But Esteban, who scored, I've seen him score twice now. I think he's got more goals than that, three or four. But he took that really, really well. Keeper had no chance. And that was the start of it. And that's when you knew it's actually going to be more comfortable than we think in a relegation battle. When they are completely outclassing someone in the top half of the table like that. And that's in that game, I didn't even understand some of the kind of lineup choices. Like Theo Zidane didn't start. Jeremy De Leon, who we'll speak about later, didn't play at all. Edgar Puyol was on the bench. So, yeah, there was a few players that I thought were left out when they shouldn't have been, but still, it was complete domination.
Do you think Raul listens to our podcast?
No, because he is still doing, and this is where I'll praise him, he's still doing the things we criticised him for. The rotations aren't good enough. Some of the lineups are questionable. However, 2-3-1 wins. He's a while away from the relegation zone now, and he's in 11th place. So he's one place away from having a successful season. Think about that after what we've been discussing for the last 3, 4, 5 pods. So he doesn't listen to the podcast. In fact, he's still being stubborn. But bizarrely, and I think this is again where we will say credit to the guy, it works for him. Now, there is still, what, 4 games left for Castilla. They could lose all 4. I don't mean they'll still go down. I think they're fine now. But they could lose all 4 and still finish, like, lower mid-table, like 15th, 16th. Not good enough. He should really kick on now and try and win at least 2 games out of the last 4. And then I think he can get that mid-table finish that would mean every single season's been a success.
Is it the last 5 positions in the league table that get relegated or get into the relegation?
Oh, it is the last 5, which is harsh, isn't it? But I suppose that's because there's groups and there's so many teams looking to go up and whatnot and move.
Yeah, so currently the last 5, well, 16th, the team that just beat San Fernando, they have 35 points in 34 games.
9 points, so.
There's, yeah, 9-point gap between them. So I think they only need a win or 2 to be safe.
Yeah. 1 win and they'll be absolutely fine. It's looking really, really good. But again, yeah, 5 teams, as you say, so they can't even finish 16th, like I was saying. That's so irregular. But there is a danger of finishing, if it did go all pear-shaped, they could finish 15th, which is one place in front of the drop zone. It doesn't look good. It's not what anyone wants. So he's going to have to keep pushing. Just, I think, a couple of results, honestly, 2 wins, and there should be a 10th place finish. Because Alcoyano, the team who they beat, I watched live, they're now 10th. And Castilla should be finishing above that team all day of the week.
Yeah, yeah. I think Castilla have... they're just 1 point behind Alcoyano, but they have a game in hand because they haven't played this weekend. I think, yeah, just speaking on Raul, yeah, you kind of have to give credit because he is, like, putting out these, like, kind of weird lineups with 3 at the back, which I wasn't expecting. But it's working for the team. They've scored 6 goals. They've conceded 2. Alvaro has been pretty decent in the last two games. He's on 9 goals now in the league, which is pretty decent for him. I think
score against Alcoyano, but he did play well. Like you could tell just from his performance that he was one of the top 5 players on that team easily, probably higher than that even. And that's just because he was winning those headers. He was going on a couple of dribbles, good touch for his link up play. So to get a double today, yeah, I think it cements his places. One of the better talents in Castilla in the academy at the moment.
Yeah, and he started off the season really badly, I think. In the first, like, 20, 23 games, I don't think he was doing all that well. I think I've criticised him too much.
Maybe, because I remember a couple pods back, I think I said that this was his best season, or this will be end up being his best season for Castilla. And I think it will, you know?
I wouldn't say that. I think statistically, yes, it could be. But I think performance-wise, I think last season he was so
When he was getting his first team chances, he certainly had... Yeah, his performances were high. But I think he will end the season... Again, there's only 4 games left now. We're talking like there's 10. But I think in the last 4, if he bags another couple, I think it will probably be, without all the hype and all the attention around him, his best season.
I think it's up, like, you know, it's not a big difference between last season and this season. The only thing I would say, last season he had less goals, but he had more of an impact.
I think you're probably right. And he certainly had more of a first team chance. Like, there was a genuine chance he was going to be promoted full time at one point, and I don't think that is there anymore. And that's at the moment they've got Joselu, and that's it. And Joselu's good, but as for a starting striker, he's not quite there. So you think a Castilla striker has looked at that and has never had a better opportunity. But I still don't think he'll get it. So if he pushes himself, I think he should be within a chance of finding a Liga club in the summer and pushing himself at top level next year. But that'd be good.
That'd be really good. Especially even if we consider, like, if Alvaro thinks he had a chance this season, would he really have a chance next season?
It's going to be a very different look, isn't it?
And that window
really has shut.
Yeah, 35 million 18-year-old would join, and he would have more of an, I think, more of a a bigger role than Alvaro.
This is it. I don't think, I mean, if we're talking about Endrick, I don't think Endrick has a big role to play at all next season, but he will have a bigger role than any Castilla player or any youth player coming in, you know? Like probably a bigger role than Joselu if he signs, but and they're going to be struggling for minutes. Endrick is going to struggle for minutes. You've got to think about this. Joselu probably get next to none if he signs. So next year, that window, which is so big this year and I think has been missed, it completely shuts next year.
Yeah, and I think Endrick actually does have a role next season in the...
If Mbappe signs?
Even if Mbappe signs, I think Endrick is the... I'm not saying he's going to start. There's no way he starts next season.
Hmm.
But just my opinion is that he has, like, he has something in his game. He has, like, that just, like, effectiveness in his game that he would just make things happen off the bench. And I think that's really important. Kind of like how Brahim does this season, or even Hossegger sometimes does this season. I think Endrick just coming off the bench, he would be a big...
See, my worry is, and I think you're probably right, because he certainly does have that oomph and that swaz about his game, but so does Arda Güler. That's my biggest worry, is that off the bench, Arda Güler would have contributed a lot more this year. I think he showed that in the game against Sociedad. For Endrick, I think his first year especially will end up being very similar to that of Arda's, where it is a handful of games that he will get. And then he needs to crack on from there and take his chance. And I think Arda Güler's taken his chance. I think he's been really, really good. Whenever I've seen him, there's been kind of areas of his game that are lacking, but it's early doors, you know, it's all going to develop. I don't know if it needs a loan move. I don't know what's going on with that situation, but I think Endrick will end up more like Güler than Brahim. But then again, Brahim was in that exact boat at one point and had to go out on loan here, there and everywhere. So, yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. But for a Castilla player looking at that next year, it's going to be a howl.
Yeah. Just quickly on Endrick before we move on to the next topic. I just think Endrick has that, like, that profile, sort of like Arda Güler, that doesn't really exist in the entire team. That he is left-footed, that can play in any position in the attack, and is really quick and powerful. So I think that is just, even if you don't have positions for him in the starting 11, I think off the bench he could come on for Vinicius, Rodrigo or Mbappe if he joins.
I mean, that helps, I think, for sure.
Yeah, I think that
the transition is going to be a challenge, because the Brazilian league is different to any league I've seen in the world in terms of the pace, the way the attackers like to play, the way the defenders like to play. So I think the transition will be hard.
Yeah.
Which is why I am a little bit puzzled and happy at the same time, because he's so expensive, that Castilla has no involvement with Endrick at all. Even if it was just for 2, 3, 4 games, just the way that obviously Rodrigo, Vinny J, Renier, the way they came over and they played. Like for Renier, Castilla's as good as it got for him, which is crazy to think about. For the other two, Castilla was the perfect bridge. It was needed at the time. And again, the quality of those Castilla teams were a lot higher than now. And Endrick, I think, is a lot higher in quality than Vinny J and Rodrigo were at the time. But I think culturally, one or two games may not hurt, even though morally I find it completely wrong to play those guys in the third tier.
It would be actually like... You know, it would be really fun to watch Endrick play.
I'd be mental.
It was so sick. I did live podcast after it.
Yeah, I mean, look, when Vinicius played, when I'm pretty sure both of them got red cards with Rodrigo, when Renier played, I thought he was the best of the bunch. But obviously that position is very, very difficult to break through with. And he just hasn't kept form at all. I think his loan move was wrong. And then this is the problem with the whole system. If I was going to apply for a job at Real Madrid, it would be loan coordinator, because they get it wrong. You know, there is an opportunity for someone to come in there and actually focus and give some much needed player care and attention to the loan system and the loan moves that they go on, because nearly, I'd say 80% of every player's loans are incorrect. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. I'm going to plug it in. Go listen to the Mink Beaters podcast, because we talked about that as well.
Yeah,
that's the highlight of my career, even though I wasn't there for most of it.
You're a big part though, very important.
You just you did well, bro. Anyway, just we discussed about, you know, your experience at Castilla. Let's talk about the more grander scale. How was the Bernabeu against Barcelona?
Yeah, so I also watched the Clásico. In terms of Castilla players and their involvement, I find it crazy that the third keeper, Mario De Luis, isn't doing anything but going and warming up at the Bernabeu. It's crazy. He comes at the start, everyone cheers. He gets like a big shout out from the commentator at at the game live, and then his eyes go up on the big screens like every other player. It's crazy. But in terms of actual involvement, obviously nothing happened. But and Matt Wiltz tweeted this actually the other day, and I thought it's such a big point, because I put out that article saying that the academy in Castilla is completely dormant at the moment, not important, the club isn't giving it any attention, the success lies elsewhere, which sucks for us watching. But Lucas Vazquez during the Clásico was, oh man, different gravy. The whole game he was just untouchable, which I thought was crazy for someone like that to put in a performance like that. And then Matt Wiltz tweeted the other day something about one of the biggest challenges Real Madrid has when Carvajal, Nacho, Vazquez decide to move on, which for a couple of them could be this summer, is finding those players who have that pure passion for Real Madrid and that pure knowledge of how everything works from the ground up from such a young age. Integrating players like that into the squad is going to be so difficult going into the future. And I think that's where Castilla is going to rise up again. Maybe not now, because the quality isn't there, but hopefully in the next 3, 4, 5 years, a couple of players can come up from the academy where they've been playing for the entirety of their lives, pretty much. And they can look to replace kind of the void that Nacho is going to leave, because it is so important in a team. Like, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, Nacho leaving. I was going to actually talk about this as well. I just remembered that Nacho was leaving. We didn't discuss it because he was such
Again, it is at the moment, it's pretty much rumours, but these ones are stronger than most. So it would be a good time for him to leave. Let's be honest. He's, what, 34 now? He's still playing he's playing a pretty decent level, but there are times this season where, you know, it's obviously his level has dropped. And that's fine, because he's the ripe age for it. Go on to, hopefully not Saudi Arabia, but go on to the MLS or wherever you want to retire and earn a final pay packet, or go to Real Sociedad or wherever and try and play your highest level. It's perfect for him. It's a great stage to leave Real Madrid. But the void he leaves from his personal knowledge and experience is crazy.
Yeah, and to be honest, from what I've seen, the rumors, and these rumors are pretty concrete, by the way. I don't think he's going to renew it anymore.
No, I completely agree.
Yeah, so from
never trust a rumor. That's one thing.
Well, yeah, it's not confirmed.
Yeah,
but one. Yeah, it is right. One thing I did see is that he doesn't want to play for a Spanish club. So I don't think that's also that move.
That's typical him. It's just Madrid is in his heart, you know, and this is what Real Madrid are going to struggle, I think, to not only replace, but just locate and find a new one of, because it's been a long time. The longevity of these players is crazy. Like Lucas Vazquez, I never thought when he left Castilla, he was going to play for the first team. Same with José Lumato. Same with, I mean, Dani Carvajal, like, you knew he was going to come back ASAP as well. And Nacho, straight promotion, you knew that was going to happen. But the longevity, they've been here for 10 plus years, most of them now, other than José Lu, of course, who managed to actually get back this year. But that's an incredible story in itself, that Real Madrid was always going to be his final destination if he could get his level to raise like that. They are all incredible. They're all from the golden generation, like the genuine golden generation, which is difficult because Castilla, one of those comes around once in 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But all you need is that one player, you know, that one passionate player to come through and show that quality and get straight into the first team. You know, Rafa Marin, I think, could be a very good example. Mario Aguilar could be a very good example. Players can come back at some point.
What do you think of Fran Garcia?
Fran Garcia, great. I mean, he's first team level. I mean, he is a substitute level at that, but he certainly is first team level. I didn't think he was going to come back, you know, and he's one of the best Castilla left backs I've seen in a while. Miguel Gutierrez could certainly come. I think he is slightly better, so he could come back and really do a lot for the first team. There are players out there, and I think Castilla is the answer. That's where Castilla is going to rise back up from the grave, is through the mentality that is instilled with their players. They just need to raise that quality slightly in the next couple of years. And I think we're back in business here at Castillo Corner. I really think we are.
Back to weekly podcast, you know.
Exactly. Back to weekly watch and back to exciting football, because when I went to watch live, it was a really good performance, but I felt old, you know what I mean? Because for anyone listening who hasn't been to a Castilla game, don't try, because if you don't have the links, just like in life, it's who you know. If you don't have the links, you won't get tickets. It's impossible. You need to know a socio who are incredibly hard to meet and you know, gain trust of to give you tickets, or you need to know someone in a Peña. Or you need to know someone who's playing or coaching who works for the club, because otherwise there's no public sale. You can't do it. And you get in there and the socios don't really want to go. So they give the tickets to their kids and their grandkids. And the only people who do get public tickets are local clubs. They get gifted like ticket packages so they can all go. So there's loads and loads of 10-year-olds effectively. And I'm sat in this stand and I'm watching kids play against men, but they're supported by even younger kids. And I'm thinking, this demographic is crazy here. The target market.
wouldn't it be better for the club to just actually like sell the tickets?
Oh, I'm with you on that. In fact, it's one of the most annoying things about Real Madrid is that they are this kind of private elitist club, not owned by a billionaire, but they're owned by fans who have been around for a hundred years, you know, a long, long time. Mm. And then the social status is either inherited or you kind of get given it during this really, really difficult process of waiting for decades and decades and decades. It's impossible for anyone else to get it. Castilla is not the Real Madrid first team by any means. They play in the third tier, where the football is mixed at best. They would sell so many more tickets just from people being interested in the reserve side, people being interested in Real Madrid, if they just publicly marketed them, you know? I'm with you on that massively. It is one of the most annoying things that happens, is that they privatise Real Madrid Castilla when they really don't need to.
It's really difficult to actually like get tickets. Like if you don't have the connections,
it's impossible.
You will not be in, yeah.
I can't even tell you two of the connections because they're that high up and that linked to the club. Two of my connections for Castilla tickets, I can't even publicly disclose. And I have to go to those lengths with these kind of people to even have a chance. It's nuts.
Yeah, I would like to go to a game in like as press, though. I would like to ask Raul.
I mean, it's good. I mean, when I started getting interested in Castilla, the kids were my age, you know. So it was really, really fascinating to see where they were going to go, what they were going to do, because I would have loved to have just got in to a kit and played with them, you know what I mean? That would have been a dream. Now they are my age group, other than Martin Ødegaard, who's what, he's 25 now. Most of them are all 28. I'm 28. So the kids playing now are like 7+ years younger than me.
Yeah, they're my age now.
It is a weird feeling. Yeah, and I'm sat exactly, it's perfect time for you to go, because I'm sat with these kids watching these kids play, and I'm thinking, this is ledge, it's awesome, but it's it does feel like my time has passed, you know. I'm not going to get a kit on because I'll be the oldest player of all time to play for Castilla at this point, which is embarrassing.
I think even like looking at myself, I'm almost 22 now. I think my time
this summer your time would go, you know. Yeah, you have to either make your debut now or that's it. But yeah, back to the Clásico, what a massive sidetrack. Yeah, I'm going to make a hot take right now. And this isn't just for Castilla fans, this is for all Real Madrid fans. I went to the Bernabeu back in, I think it was like September, October. Hated it. I thought, this is a corporate cesspit. I hate this. Because if you had been to the Bernabeu in its old, amazing state, God, it had so much character. Like, there are areas that certainly needed a touch-up, but it just oozed character, even though you're watching the biggest club in the world who have this kind of corporate Galactico identity, you know what I mean? Now, I went back for the Clásico, and I was really hoping to see some improvements because construction isn't necessarily finished yet. I still think it's a massive downgrade. And the inside, by the way, is very cool. I love the roof was over for the Clásico. I love that, you know, you can put the roof up for football matches. I love that the pitch goes under the ground. I know that the quality's been coming into question over the last few weeks, but I just love that you can split it up into components and you can have concerts and basketball games and American football games or whatever you want in there. That's a massive moneymaker. I love the screens that go above the stadium and above some of the seats. They're incredible. I don't like the seat color. I think the seat color is bland. It's the same as Tottenham Hotspurs. It's the same as Bayern. It's the same as so many clubs in their kind of new modern stadiums. And the stadium just kind of just have this, it's the same as all of these feel to it, you know? But yeah, the outside I don't think is good enough. And if you looked at the original plans, there was plans for like a screen. Mm-hmm. Or the half the stadium on the outside to light up and become a screen and turn different lights. That hasn't happened. And it's not going to happen.
Really?
No, they won't be able to play. If you go there, they're not going to be able to instill a screen and they're not going to be able to play movement. They might be able to light it up somehow. But even then, I don't think they're going to be able to do that. So it's a big disappointment in my eyes, to be honest with you. I think it's a big downgrade from the old Bernabeu. It just has no character to it whatsoever. It's very, very corporate. And you feel it when you're sat in there. You're like, it's cool, but it's like, I could go to Tottenham and have the exact, apart from the performance, the team's performance, I could go to Tottenham and have the exact same experience, which is a massive shame, I find. But it's the way football's going. It just becomes more and more corporate and more commercialised. And Real Madrid certainly are going to have a slice of that pie, if any team, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I when you first said that, I don't like the stadium, I thought you didn't just mean outside. I thought you meant inside as well.
The inside's quite cool, to be honest with you. And if the seat colour was the same as the old one, as like a little homage, I think I'd like it. But it's just so, you look into it, and honestly, I would, if I showed you two pictures, one of the Tottenham inside stadium now, and one of the Real Madrid interior.
We should do other than if the there's podcast. Like.
Literally, other than if there's like Real Madrid branding and Tottenham branding, and I think there might be, and it was just all off, the screens were off, it'd take you a while, I'll tell you.
I from what I've seen, obviously, like, I prefer the old one. The old one, just, like, it oozed, like, class. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was so beautiful. And
it had the this same one, ticket turnstiles as, like, the... Oh, it was incredible.
Yeah, and I haven't been to like either one, obviously. I haven't been to Spain yet. But this one, obviously from the outside, I don't like it as much as I do the old one. Inside, I think it's like really, I think it's cool, really cool. The lights and the screen, the 360 degree screen, that's pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, it is cool. It is cool.
Yeah, I think inside is decent, but like the outside, it just doesn't appeal to me. If someone showed it to me, like suddenly, and I'm like, I'd be taken aback. I don't know what. But I would. I think there will be some improvements before it's completely finished. But yeah, I haven't been to one. Like, I haven't been to the stadium yet, so I can't really say. But from what I was in the picture, I'm not really the biggest fan. But I'm a fan of money, so
Real Madrid will make a lot of money from this, that's for sure. In fact, it will be so sustainable, it's beyond belief. I think they struck an NFL deal recently or something like that to show a couple games.
I think so.
And concerts and whatnot. Yeah, there will be money in coming, so you can see why they've done it. It will be a success.
There was a concert yesterday.
I do remember when I was the first one. And it was an opera singer. Taylor Swift's gonna perform soon. I think next month. But when I was 15 and I went to Madrid for the first time, I honestly could have fainted. I looked at that old building and I just thought it was so prestigious. And the difference in context, obviously I'm older now and I think really, you know, you've seen it all. You haven't seen it all in 28, but you think you have. And nothing's going to surprise you. But I stepped up the same metro steps. And it just, I was just like, you know, there was no character to it anymore, and that was a real disappointment. The inside is gonna win me over, I'm sure. And maybe it's minor construction now, which is what worries me. They're only finishing the pipes and the roads and whatnot. They're not doing much to the stadium anymore. But hopefully they come in and make a big drastic change, because outside I just think it just looks like a tin or the Guggenheim Museum or any other modern stadium. It just is not the same.
Yeah, outside, from what I see in the pictures, I'm not a fan. And I just, I wish I was there when, you know, the old stadium was there. I wish I'd been there once. Like,
would
even
be good
on tour.
To say, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. It can work out. It's fine. But, you know, at least I just hope this one, you know, it just gets better. Because it just doesn't have that character, if you know what I mean. Like, it's weird, man. I don't hate it. Like, I don't like, I don't think it's, like, terrible. I think it's cool, but I just don't think it's as classy as it used to be.
Yeah, and Real Madrid brand is classy. They're a classy club who are prestigious and have been at the top of football, you know, since its inception, pretty much. So yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it will win me over on my third visit, but I doubt it.
Yeah, well, there's not a lot left to discuss. I think we have to discuss one thing, just like, because we always do.
Well, we have a couple, because I know exactly what's coming up, and I'm going to postpone that even more, because I want to talk about Jeremy De Leon. We've spoken about pedigree.
I was going to talk about height. So.
Oh, perfect. Right. Well, in that case, it'll be the exact same conversation, because he's not playing. Okay. And this is the thing. Look. He got taken. We haven't actually done a podcast since this happened. He got taken to Manchester. Did you know that?
Yeah, no, I know that. Yeah.
He was given the first team clothes and a suit they all wear on the plane. He went and jetted off with the first team to Manchester. He trained on the Etihad pitch. He's not registered. He can't be in the squad, which means they must have registered him because he was pitch side as a coach or a doctor or something, or a medic. Because I know that teams do that. If you can't register a player, it's illegal to have them there. You can't have it. You get disqualified. It happened with Denis Cheryshev, actually, in the Cup to Real Madrid a few years back. So they must have registered him as who knows what. He was sat on the side of the pitch, and he celebrated, and he was on the pitch at full time when they went through and progressed. The first team, he has more opportunities with them than he does with Real Madrid. Castillo, what is going on?
I have no idea, to be honest.
He hasn't started a game.
Yeah, he hasn't. He didn't even feature as a sub.
I don't think he's come on in the last two games. When I was there live, he didn't. I saw him warming up, and that was at the 85th minute, and that was it.
Mm. And this game, he didn't come on either. I think it was Theo and someone else.
I think the one before. So he hasn't even played the last three. What's going on? Is there any communication between departments here? This is when you know that they don't care about Castillo at all, because there's a player that they see some promise in. They're going to give all these opportunities to with the first team. They're not even making sure he's starting for Castillo, not even one game.
It's
like, what's going on? Like,
I don't know. I genuinely, I'm so disappointed. Like, you have such good players. If you don't need a player, right? If you don't need a player, why would you bring him in to waste his career? You know what I mean?
Literally, do not sign. It's not, again, it's not a wasted career. Luckily, he's so young, but it's a wasted half a year.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
He probably would get a league title with Castellón. Well, we don't know that because he's only top of one group, but they are top of the table, you know? And he was playing, he didn't necessarily start for them, but he was playing once every two games, you know, and he's playing decent cameos. He's not playing at all at the moment for Castilla. He's training with the first team. Apparently, he impressed in a friendly game against the first team. He's making, not, you can't say he's making squads, but he's been taken to games with the first team. He didn't come on for the last three games for Castilla. He's here getting all this attention on social media. I'm seeing it. People are loving him. People are counting on him. This is how informed you have to be. And it's really important to stay informed when you're a Real Madrid fan, because you wouldn't be that excited if you actually watched Castilla and you knew what was going on, because he isn't doing anything.
Because they actually need a profile like him that has that, you know, that bounce on him. And
massively, he would have just slotted into Peter's position perfectly.
Yeah, and he hasn't even played. And Castellón, I think, they will win the league, I think. They're first, they won their last, I don't even know how many games. They're really? 8 points above Córdoba. They will have to face Deportivo for the title, right? If they do, like, if they finish first, would they have to
lose, to be honest. Deportivo, big club, but you never know. You don't know, do you? It's champion against champion. This is the thing. It's ruthless, this level, because you could win a league and not win the league. It's mental. And it used to be the case that you could win a league and not even get promoted. With Castilla knew that. They finished first in 2015-16 with Ødegaard, Mariano, Llorente, all of them. they lost in the playoffs. They didn't go up. And I just thought, for goodness sake, you know, what more have you got to do?
Yeah, they changed that, right?
They have changed that. So now you get promoted. You might not necessarily win the league and get the title, but you at least get promoted, which is, how it should be, because it's crazy to consider that they finished first place. They worked so hard. They got through the first round of the playoffs and they only needed to win one more game and they got knocked out. And yeah, that was frustrating. One of the most frustrating times of being a Castilla follower, actually.
Yeah, I can imagine. I wasn't there at the time, but that must have hurt. I think last season as well, it was like, it seems like such a long time ago that we were in promotion spots.
It's not,
we were
though, is
in
it?
The final. Yeah, exactly. Mm. It's not, but it seems like it's been 3 years.
And this is a good thing about them, is that to get to that spot, they had to overachieve, because I think with Raul's side especially, this is how good of a manager he is, by the way, and people don't realise this to this day. I think I predicted them like an 8th place finish, because they were slightly better than this team. They had better players. They brought in external talents. They finished like 5th and 4th under Raul, and that's incredible. And they made the playoffs. That's overachieving, and that's the best thing you can do as Castilla manager, other than actually get promotion. That's the best thing. But the second best thing you can do is overachieve. And Raul did that with this team.
Yeah. Do you mean last season?
Don't get me. He's been here for so many. that's the worst question you could possibly ask. Probably not, to be honest. I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah, Castilla finished third last season. That's all that meant.
Was they it where? Third?
Yeah, they finished third. They could have won the league.
With even better. So that is overachieving to the max, because none of the squads Raul have been good enough to actually win a league title. Obviously, Arribas would carry so many teams for a couple of years. But he's overachieved to the max. And a 10th place finish is bang on with this team, because it's a skinny, skinny squad, you know. It's really skinny. And Nico Paz is actually very good, and I think he'll go straight to La Liga. But even he, I don't think, has a Real Madrid future. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't think Nico Paz will have a future in Madrid now, after, you know, Brahim's doing well, you have Guler waiting, you have Endrick coming in, you have so
it's
many
tough,
players.
You know? Yeah. Better players have failed before him, so I don't see it. I don't. Although it was good to see how popular he is. Like, people are wearing it, like a Real Madrid shirt with his name on the back to Castilla games. All the kids were just going up when he took the corner, they were flying down the sands just to try and get a picture of him. So it's crazy how popular he is. But it's also, you need to think that was Arribas, that was Oscar Rodriguez before him, that was Martin Ødegaard before him, that was Miguel Baeza. You know, there's always been that kind of star man that people, especially the number 10 attacking midfielder, it's always been very popular. And Nico Paz is the latest in a long line. He is not the be all and end all.
Yeah. Speaking of Arribas, have you seen the Almeria going down next season?
Right, it doesn't surprise me, to be honest.
Yeah.
To be honest, it does not surprise me. But he's actually been pretty impressive. I think I haven't heard much of him recently, but he's already done enough this season to warrant a bigger move somewhere else next year.
I hope he does.
So I hope he gets it.
Yeah, because I think
he's got at least 10 goal involvements this year. So
let me see, actually, because he's been, I think he's been their best player. Even in your first season in La Liga, to do all that he's
exactly.
doing.
With the worst team
the worst team in the league.
He's got something like 6 goals, 3-4 assists in maybe all comps. That might include
I'm
the
on, actually. 6
oh,
goals.
Nice. Yeah, cool. And I think he's got a couple in the cup as well. So like it's been a very good year for him. He just needs to shine. If he gets a better team from here, he will go onwards and progress. I'm hoping it's Leverkusen. And if he gets a better team from there, he could be one of the best around. And he could be, again, we mentioned Miguel Gutierrez, we mentioned Marin, we mentioned Gila. He could be one of those players that Real Madrid really try and fill a void with one day. So you never know. You never know.
Right. I would always have a soft spot for Arribas. He's like, he used to excite me more than some of Madrid's games last season. Like,
when you're the best to do it.
Yeah, he's so good.
You just have to get excited, you know. It's because the best, you've got to think there's so many players in those positions. That, you know, Martin Ødegaard's on that list. Miguel Baeza, who was incredible at Castilla, hasn't done much after, but he's on that list. Nico Paz now is on that list. Arribas is better than some of them combined in terms of his Castilla career, which is crazy, like really crazy.
I really want him to play for a big team, or well, not a big team, but a bigger team than Almeria. I think he would really
Yeah, he's one that I don't think will fan out like Miguel Baeza. I think he will go to the top. I can see it.
Yeah. Well, let's just end on the last topic that we had, which is not even Real Madrid, like not directly anyway.
But this one does always get brought up.
And it will always be brought up until Raul leaves. Xavi Alonso.
Yeah, so what, he won a league title last time we were speaking about, and now at the moment it's an awkward time for him because he wants to go and beat, and let's be honest, it would be a ridiculous achievement. But they had Dortmund do a really tough game, especially when you've won the league title and you've got other things to focus on. But they got that last minute equaliser. And it's just, they've done that so many times this year. It is incredible.
Yeah, and now today they've done it against Stuttgart. Literally the last.
What was the score? I didn't see that one.
They were 2-1 down until the 96th minute. And then Andrik scored. Andrik, I'm not sure how you say his name, but he scored the last second of the game.
Wow. And
it was against, like, literally statistically a better team in the league than Dortmund as well. They've still got a third right now. So,
oh, goodness. Who have they got in the semi-finals? Roma?
Yeah, they've got Roma. That'd be a decent game.
That's probably a win. They might lose one of those games. But I think even if he doesn't go and beat him, and there is a chance he does, by the way, that I think they've got a treble. I think they do.
Yeah, I mean, treble is not far off because they're facing a team from the second division in the DFB Pokal final.
Marseille or Atalanta at the second division team. Like, I see it. I can see that happening.
Yeah, definitely. And like, even in the games, I think they've played the most difficult games of the league as well. Let's see. Matches. Let's see. I think they have to face Frankfurt, which is a good team. But the rest of the games are like, they face Bochum, who actually beat them in the last game of last season. Augsburg should be a win. That's the only three games that are left in the season for the league.
Wow.
And they're literally seven games away from completing an unbeaten season, and they can, like, they definitely can.
Yeah, oh, they definitely can. I mean, again, there might be a tricky second leg or game where they need to focus on the final or something, but he's definitely made them favourites for the Europa League. Let's be honest, they're going to win the cup, so they've won a double because they've already won the league. It's unfathomable how good he is. I mean, I've never seen a coach like that. He is now one of the best managers in the world. Don't know if you have to wait to the end of the season to confirm that. I don't know. I think he is now. I would have him as a shoehorn for the next Real Madrid job, the manager job, when that opens. I think that's a must. I think if they miss out on that, they really have fumbled. And Real Madrid tend to plan things meticulously, and it tends to go perfectly for them. So I'm hoping at the top of some sort of notice board somewhere in a Real Madrid office is Xabi Alonso's name for the future.
Yeah, and I think him rejecting Liverpool and Bayern this season, even though he says it's not because of Real Madrid, it might be. You never know.
I think it is.
Yeah, because you don't reject those two clubs. You know,
I mean,
for no reason.
You would reject Bayern at the moment, especially because it's the same league and he's worked so hard to kind of dethrone them.
Yeah.
But Liverpool, where he played there, you know, he's loved there. Klopp is leaving, and I think there's a really good opportunity to go in there and do something, just like he did at Leverkusen. But I think he's got his eye on just really sailing to the very, very top.
No, I can't. I genuinely love Ancelotti. He's done incredibly well, but I can't wait for Xabi Alonso to come in. Because I've seen him from his Madrid, Infantil A days, right? I don't know what team it was, but it's been so long since I've seen him in every single team. I've seen him, just level up even like further in every single season, and to now get him into Madrid again, that'd be just the perfect run.
Yeah, incredible. And hopefully that happens. But
yeah,
you know, that's a sure for our way. And Raul, let's speak about him for a minute, because I'm going to look in a positive light again. If he finished 10th with this team, he's had five very, very, very strong years with Real Madrid. And he should be looking for that Sevilla job or whatever is going to come up. I can't remember else he was linked with, maybe Schalke or someone, but he should be looking for a first division role. And again, there's no way in whatsoever that he would get an unbeaten run throughout a season and upset a Real Madrid or Barcelona or whoever, a PSG, wherever he goes. But he could be a very, very good top level manager very soon. And he just needs to take a risk to literally push the boat out there. I don't know why he wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, we always said it. He has the ability to be a really good coach. It's just it depends on when he leaves his comfort zone, really.
Yeah, right. And the problem is he is sticking to it because, again, you asked me 1 year ago and he's the best Castilla manager I've seen. And he probably still is, to be honest with you, on the lowdown. And I would have put him in almost a title-like 1v1 race with Xabi Alonso to see who does what better because they were both doing these mesmerizing things. But this year has been a real change in tone. One, because Xabi Alonso did something and has continued to do something just unfathomable, but also because Raul has taken, at times, steps backwards. It's very interesting. But I hope Raul really does push that boat out this summer, leaves Castilla, allows Arbeloa, who looks a promising coach, to come up and test himself and build a new team because Real Madrid Castilla need a new team. And then Raul can focus on being where he belongs in a top division.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's pretty much it. Do you have anything else to talk about before we wrap it up?
No, all good, all good.
All right, this was a pretty lengthy episode, actually. It's been a while since I've had a long episode on Castillo Corner, but there we go. All right.
Yes, we are. The next one, before we go, I am going to make it happen. We're going to get Chris on, and I'm going to really try to get Ruben on to make it the full gang. And we're going to do that games night episode where we go through all the lineups. That will be fun, I think. So I'm going to try and make that the next one ASAP as well.
Yeah, next one. That would be really nice, actually, because I haven't heard Ruben's voice in months.
Right. It'd be good to get him on, so I will start poking him with a stick.
Yeah, definitely. All right. That was all for today. Thank you guys for listening, and thank you, Sam, for always coming in clutch. As always, Hala Madrid.
Hala Madrid.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.